Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. Today is part five of What Makes Us Human. Quick disclaimer, it's still pretty early in the morning. The birds are still chirping pretty loudly, so they'll be the background music for today's sermon, which just makes this sermon that much better, does it not? And I want to begin this morning with a story. This is a story that, for many of you, if you're familiar with the Bible, this is a story that you have probably read many times before. You're quite familiar with this story. And it's the story of a man by the name of Abram. It takes place early in the Bible, on the first couple of pages, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. Maybe Abram doesn't ring a bell. Maybe the name Abraham does. Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them. So are you. See, what had happened in the life of Abraham, is he had originally been walking one path in life. But then something happened. He made a change. There was a shift. He had been walking one path. He had been on one particular journey. Then his path shifted. He started walking a completely different and new path. And as a result of this new path that he began walking, his name changed. Because in the world at this time, your name signified your identity. So Abram had one identity, but as soon as he stepped out, as soon as he made a change, as soon as he began walking on the blue trail instead of the red trail, his identity shifted. And he was no longer known as Abram. He became known as Abraham. See, the thing that I want to talk about this morning is our ability as humans to make a change. This human ability that we have to be walking one path and then to go on a different path. To make a change. To be living, we could say it this way maybe, to be living one story, but then to start walking and living into a completely new and different story. This is what happened in the life of Abram, and I believe this living into a new story is something that's at the heart of what it means to be human. The ability we have to change the direction, the trajectory of our lives. Let's begin in chapter 12 of Genesis, right in the beginning, verse 1. We're told this: "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" Here we are, one sentence, just a couple of words, and already we have so much to talk about. This call, this invitation to Abram, it begins with an invitation to leave behind everything that he has ever known. At this part in the story, Abram's living in Ur. It's a city in ancient Mesopotamia. Abram's grown up here. This is all he's known his entire life. He knows which restaurants to go to. He knows which stores have the best deals. He knows where to buy his toilet paper, his paper towels. He probably lives just a few tents down from where he grew up. His family lives right there by him. If he needs to borrow any salt or pepper, he knows which tent to go to. Abram's living in the familiar. There's a certain level of comfort, of convenience when you're in the familiar. This invitation into a new story, a new adventure, a new journey, it begins with leaving all of that behind. It begins with an invitation to leave behind the known. I mean, that's how any good adventure begins. Any movie, any book, any play that you've seen or read, the main character is always thrust out. Sometimes forcefully, other times on their own, but they're thrown out into the unknown. They leave behind everything that is familiar to them in order to embrace an adventure of uncertainty, of not knowing. And if we'll notice at the end of this sentence, what God is asking Abram to do, he's not giving him a specific destination to go to. He's not saying, I want you to leave behind everything and go to Dallas. He's not saying, leave your father's household, the country that you've grown to love and know, and go to Sacramento. Instead, this divine invitation is simply, go to the place where I will show you. I mean, how's that for uncertainty? You can't plug it into Google Maps. You can't grab a Rand McNally atlas and map out the route that you're going to take to wherever it is that God's telling Abram to go. Instead, it's simply, leave it all behind, and I'll guide you. I'll lead you. Now, there's another element to this as well, which just takes everything from here up a few notches. The God who is speaking to Abram here is the God who becomes known as Yahweh. Abram's family, Abram's village, his tribe, did not know who Yahweh was. Yahweh was not their tribal God. This, as Abram is being introduced to Yahweh, this is an entirely new and different God than who Abram and his family have ever known. I mean, this is revolutionary. You listen to the God of your tribe. You listen to the God of your family. The idols that you have in your household, that's the God whom you're to worship, whom you're to follow. Now, introducing a completely new and different God into the equation, I mean, we're at a whole other level of uncertainty. Abram, in order to accept this invitation, to choose to accept this mission, he's going to have to start following a different God than who he has ever followed in his entire life. This is going to have massive levels of risk attached to it. So after this invitation, here's the promise that this God Yahweh makes to Abram. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What Abram is being promised is essentially that God will take care of him, that Yahweh will protect him. Not only protect him, but will look after him, will take care of him, will provide for him. There's a massive level of trust going into this invitation. Yahweh is saying, leave it all behind and I'll provide for you. I mean, in order for Abram to walk this path, he is going to have to trust a God that he has never had to trust before. He's going to have to walk a path that he's not used to walking. And not only will this God protect and provide for Abram, but the promise that's given is that through Abram's accepting of this mission, this invitation, the entire world will be blessed through him. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty here. Why would Abram want to leave the comfort of his home, the comfort of the streets that he's always known, in order to venture out into this unknown adventure with this God that he's probably never heard of before? So here in the beginning, in just these couple of verses, this is a massive call into a completely different story. And what I love about these verses here is, if we look at verse 4, here's what Abram decides to do. So Abram left. Makes it so simple, right? Abram left. What's missing in these couple of verses? The internal conversation that's going through Abram's mind? What about all the other conversations that he's had with his friends, with his family? What about all the critics, all the people who are telling Abram, don't do that. Why would you want to leave home? Why would you want to venture off with this God that we've never heard of? You have everything that you could ever want here with us in this village, with this tribe. Don't forge your own path. Don't go on an unknown adventure. Stay here where everything is comfort, where everything is comfortable and convenient. There's a great book I ran across a couple of years ago called The Gift of the Jews by Thomas Cahill. And in this book, he talks about this story of Abram. Here's how he describes those couple of words. So Abram left. In Hebrew, they're the words Vayelech Avram. And Cahill says those words are two of the boldest words in all literature. They signal a complete departure from everything that has gone before in the long evolution of culture and sensibility. Sensibility, the conventional path, the path that we're all encouraged to take in life. Why would you step out of the path that everyone's already on? Why would you want to go on your own unique path? Abram had critics, but many of you have had critics as well. Whenever you leave the reservation, or whenever you go off of the pre-approved script that our culture is living by, whenever you decide to go on a new journey, when you decide to change your story, when it doesn't line up with the larger cultural stories that we're being handed, the critics are always there. The critics are always telling us why we're wrong, why we shouldn't take that path, why we shouldn't make that decision. I mean, one of the things that I often wonder when I read the story of Abram is how many other Abrams were there before this Abram decided to leave, decided to go? How many other people were given this opportunity, were handed this invitation, but they decided to stay? They decided to continue living the same story that they had always been living. They decided not to make a change. I mean, I often wonder when I read this story, how many others were there that simply said no, that listened to the critics, that kept walking that conventional path that we're being handed from the moment we grow up. Cahill continues, and he says, friends, family, all the people around him, community members, tribal members, they would have laughed at Avram's madness and pointed to the heavens, where the life of earth had been plotted from all eternity. And they would have said, a man cannot escape his fate. The world at this time, your fate was determined by how the stars were aligned when you were born. It determined your path. It determined who you would become. It determined your identity. So Abram was given his identity when he was born because, well, that's how the stars were aligned. And when he decided to go walk his own path, to follow this God Yahweh, everyone, the multitudes, the majority would have laughed at him and said, why are you doing this? This path is going to end in failure. You really think the promise you were given by this unknown God will ever come true? I mean, this is why those words, Vayelech Avram, are two of the boldest words in all literature. Because Abram chose to defy a predetermined fate. He chose to walk his own path. He chose to change his story. See, when I think about what is it that allows us to change, because let's face it, some of us, some of you, you're really, really comfortable with change. You embrace it with open arms. You can't get enough of it. While for others, just the thought of change it's something you want to turn and run as far away from as possible. So what is it that allows us to actually make changes in our lives? What is it that allows us to begin walking a new, a different, a non-conventional path in life? I would argue it's the stories that we allow to shape us. As humans, we are storytelling people. We make meaning by telling stories. We don't, facts are good, but facts don't help us necessarily make meaning about things. One of the biggest questions that we always have is why? Why? Why did this happen? Why did I have to go through this? Well, that question is us attempting to put into a story all the events and the experiences of our lives. So at the heart of our human journey is the fact that we're a storytelling people. Our lives are always telling a story. We're being shaped by unconscious stories, whether or not we're even aware of it, right? They just shape us at an unconscious level. And then they direct how we go and how we live and how we make meaning, how we see the world around us. So if we become aware of the stories that we're allowing to shape us, or if we become aware of the stories that our lives are telling, it gives us the power to then make a change, to say, well, that's really not the best story to be living by, or that's not really the best story that I want my life to be telling. And from there, with that awareness, with that knowledge, we can then begin to make shifts, to begin walking a different path. A few years back, I was listening to a podcast being interviewed was a man by the name of Steve Chalk. And he began an organization in London by the name of Oasis. And this was a nonprofit organization that their entire mission, their goal, was to help underprivileged people in the city of London. So if people didn't have access to food, to clothing, to shelter, they wanted to do everything that they could in order to provide those things that many of us take for granted to those who did not have access to those things. Education was also a big thing that they focused on, so they wanted to make sure that they were providing education for children who did not have access to education. Now, when Steve Chalk began this organization, he didn't have a lot of volunteers. So he began recruiting volunteers. Here's how his recruiting statement went. And I wrote this down because I thought it was absolutely brilliant. What he would tell people when he would ask for volunteers is he would say, well, first off, he said that loads of people came. They disrupted their lives in order to go and be a part of what Oasis was doing. They moved to London from wherever they were living in order to be a part of getting Oasis started. He said this was the invitation that he was giving people. Come to London, work really hard, and maybe, just maybe, we can provide you a salary 6 months down the line. Maybe. I mean, try selling that to your parents when you graduate college. What kind of a job are you going to be getting? Well, I'm going to move to London, and I'm going to figure it all out. I'm going to figure out how to make money. I'm going to figure out where to live, because I want to join this organization that can't financially provide for me at all. So I'm going to have to figure things out, but I'm going to go work for this organization because I believe so much in what they're doing. If you're a parent and your post-college grad son or daughter says this to you, chances are you're going to be a bit hesitant to fully support that decision. I mean, this isn't the normal path in life. This isn't the conventional wisdom that we offer students when they graduate college. When he was asked, well, why would loads of people move to London? Why would loads of people disrupt their lives without the promise of a pay in order to come and be a part of your organization? And he said this. He said vision. He said it was because of vision. He said everyone, and this actually goes back to what we were talking about last week. He said everyone wants to live a story that gives purpose and meaning to their lives. Now, in the podcast, he went on to tell about a big problem that was facing the United Kingdom during this time, and it was the radicalization of its teenagers. ISIS was recruiting, he said, about 5 to 10 teenagers a week. They were leaving the UK in order to join this terrorist organization. And so the UK had put this program into place called PREVENT. And basically what PREVENT did was PREVENT told these teenagers how dangerous it was and how radical of an idea it was to go and join a terrorist organization. Now, Steve Chalk, in talking about this and analyzing it, said PREVENT was probably the least helpful program to ever put in place. Telling teenagers that what you're going to go and do is a really risky endeavor, that's almost, he was saying, like a way to promote the organization. What he said was needed instead, because there was a lack of it in the country, is what was needed was a larger story for these teenagers to root their lives in. Because he said that there was a lack of it. There was a lack of a larger story for these teenagers to be a part of in the UK. With the absence of a story, of a larger, compelling story, these teenagers were getting swept up into another story because it was something that they could find purpose and meaning in. We are a storytelling people. We all want to live a story that transcends ourselves. We all want to live a story that is bigger than who we are. This was the story that Abram was invited into. Think about this. I want you to leave it all behind. And through you walking this path, the whole world will be blessed through you. This was no longer a story just about Abram and his village and his tribe. This was a story about the entire world. This is a story that connects us with something that goes beyond the small stories that we often get caught up in. This is what Steve Chalk was talking about. Oasis was providing that larger story. It wasn't providing comfort, convenience. It wasn't staying in the city of Ur, but rather it was leaving it all behind, filled with uncertainty, filled with risk, but yet also filled with possibility. That's what brings life. Possibility. For all we know, Abram was completely bored with his life at Ur. Maybe Abram was in a rut. Maybe Abram was just feeling like it was the same day, like he was caught in Groundhog Day over and over and over again. And so when this invitation came from this unknown God, he was all in. Maybe there really was no conversation. Maybe he didn't ask anyone else their opinion. Maybe he heard the invitation and was like, sign me up. Sign me up. I am there. I don't need to ask anyone. I don't need anyone else's opinion. I don't need to hear what my parents say about it, what my best friend from high school says about it. I am all in and I'm ready to start this journey today. Because it was a story that was larger than him. When I think about change and how we change as humans, or what gives us the ability to change or the impetus to change, well, first off, we change when we get into that rut, or when the life that we've been living no longer seems to work, when there's a certain lethargy to life, we realize, all right, something needs to change. Something needs to shift. The things that I'm doing now, well, if I just keep doing it, I'm going to be caught in this pattern. I'm going to be caught in this loop, and it's going to feel the same day after day after day. So change comes when we've hit that wall and we realize, I just can't keep walking this path because it's not bringing me to a larger story, or because it's not making me come more alive day after day, which is, if you're anything like me, that's what you want from life, is that you want to feel more alive each day that you're breathing in the beautiful air that's all around us. But what does help us make that change once we hit that wall, it's by analyzing our stories. It's by becoming aware of the stories. So here's two questions to ask. And I think in the midst of COVID-19, this is a perfect time to be asking these stories. We started this conversation, What Makes Us Human, by saying that so much is coming to the surface. The invitation for you during this time is to grab a pen, grab a journal, and just sort through these two questions. Start writing whatever comes to mind so that you can become aware of the stories that are shaping you and the stories that your life is telling. So here they are. The first story to ask. What stories are you choosing to believe? What stories are you choosing to believe? Another way of saying this would be, what stories are shaping your life? What are the influences? What's the information that you're allowing into your brain, into your mind? And as a result of what you're allowing in, that's shaping you in ways that you probably don't even realize. So what are the stories that you are choosing to believe about yourself, about your neighbors, about this world that we're living in? And then a second question, what story is your life telling? If I were to ask your friends, your closest friends, what's the story that you think his life is telling? Or what's the story, when you think about her, what story is she telling with how she lives her life? What would they say? A great exercise for this is, what would your friends and family say at your eulogy? What would they say about your life? What would they say about the story that your life told? So I encourage you, during this upcoming week, take some time with these two questions. Take some time analyzing them, becoming aware of what's always there, but maybe you don't really focus on all that much. And then as a result of what you've written down, of what you come to discover, maybe you'll find it's time to leave behind. It's time to venture off into the unknown. It's time to make the change from Abram to Abraham. It's time to stop walking in that endless red loop and begin venturing off onto the other trails to see what is there. So my prayer for you, my friends, this week is that you would become aware of the story that your life is telling. And that you would become aware of all the stories that are shaping you. And as you're becoming aware of these stories, my prayer is that your ears would be open to what the Spirit wants to speak to you about those stories. About which stories are bringing life. About which stories are leading you down the path that God has for your life. And that you would hear the divine Spirit inviting you down the best story. That you would come to become aware of whether or not it's time for a change. It's time to walk a new path. My prayer for you this week is that you would follow the path that God has for you in your life. That you would embrace the stories that shape you in ways that are good for you and for this world. And that your life would tell the story that God saw in your life from the moment that you were created. Grace and peace to you all this week. Amen.